Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Horrible Podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
And I'm Lona.
And tonight we're going to be helping you drive southbound on a midnight run of sorts.
That's a good Fessenden as the DJ, at least.
Is it?
Yeah.
Hey, I like it. I'll take it. I've been channeling my inner Fessenden.
And I think he was channeling every like drive time radio guy, so it works out nice.
He was clearly channeling Delilah.
The worst.
Delilah.
I remember one time at Christmas when she was sitting there and just telling lies. I just listened to it and I was like, none of that is true. Oh my God, none of it.
I've got to be honest, guys. I don't know who you're talking about.
Was she just reading the Christmas story?
She was reading the lyrics to the song "The Train" by Celestial Navigations.
I wish.
She
was saying it was ridiculous. I can't even remember.
Who is this person you're talking about?
Not like this movie, which is good.
Have you never been trapped in the car with your mom and had to listen to Delilah?
Never, not once. I have no idea who you're talking about.
Yeah, so Delilah is a smooth voiced lady who has friends and family, because we're all Delilah's friends and family.
That still does not tell me.
No, you call in, you dedicate the song to the one you love, and then she tells an equal story about someone she loves, and then she reads a letter, and then she plays like some sweet Celine Dion or some.
I was gonna say Bette Midler's "From a Distance"
From a Distance, because inevitably someone has written in to remember their pee pappy who died three Christmases ago.
Hey, he's gone, but he's always in your heart. I'm gonna send out Bette Midler's. Imagine the "From a Distance" is starting behind me. Ding 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 ding. I'm send out Bette Midler's "From a Distance" because we're all loving some family.
That's not to say that Fessenden does not exceed the talents of this Delilah.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I never understood while listening to it. It's like, how are you listening to this and not falling asleep? I want to go to sleep every time this woman speaks. I want to go to sleep every time someone speaks. But especially
anytime a woman speaks.
Anytime a woman sleeps, I'm like, come on now. What's up next?
So this is
after that.
This is episode 146. I feel like we're only four away from 150. Away? When does it count?
It really just feels like episode 130. Honestly.
I should write into Delilah about that. Be like, I'd like you to dedicate a song for the 150th episode. I don't know what that song
Dream
would
Warriors
be.
Is obviously Dream Warriors.
Okay, I was going to say, what song would make for a really good...
trying to think.
Well, if we're sticking with this movie, I'd love it to be Thin Lizzy's "Southbound."
No, it can't be a good song. It's Delilah.
Oh, so it can't be a good song. So anything by Barbara Streisand.
The "Mirror Has Two Faces" song.
Yes.
I want a Michael Bolton ditty.
Ooh.
I would say, as long as we're talking about Barbara Streisand, I would say that because we've been doing this for so long, you don't bring me flowers anymore.
Now we're hitting Neil Diamond, though, and that makes that sound all right.
Yes. And remember that, I mean, you know you don't because you probably weren't alive at this time, but when he and Barbara Streisand sang that duet at the Oscars for "You Don't Bring Me Flowers," or maybe it was the Grammys. I think it was the Grammys. And how close they were singing to each other. Like, they were literally nose to nose singing that song.
And they weren't whisper singing either.
Is it good for you? And I turn out the lights.
You don't sing me love songs.
All right, let's get into the episode.
one last thing. I always hated when I bought albums that originally had a duet on it. When I got the album, it didn't.
Duet?
It was just the one person singing the song. Best examples is Shania Twain's
Shouldn't have bought that.
So wait, you bought a Shania Twain album.
Shouldn't have bought that.
I was DJing weddings at the time, and she was very popular.
Lots of exclamation points.
So I have to say that Southbound starts off slap bang with a great introduction by Larry Fessenden. And I was really happy with that.
Oh, yeah.
I heard the voice. I would grab my phone to look up the IMDb listing. I was like, I don't have to look this up. I know that's Larry
Fessenden. So for listeners, this is a lesser known.
I just waited for it in the credits, yeah.
This is a lesser known flick, so let's give the listeners a background. Lona, can you tell the audience what this movie's about? What is Southbound all about?
Southbound is an anthology film about a bunch of people who are trapped in hell.
Hey, You should do that every week. That was good.
Yeah, that was succinct and like without any like.
That's the newspaper writer coming
out.
Yeah,
it was.
It wasn't like one of us doing it.
No, because the conversation.
Did you want me to do it a different way?
No, because if it was one of us, we'd still be talking about it.
So Southbound is about the lower half of a person, their adventures in various toilets across the southeastern United States. It's a double Southbound sort of stitch.
What a great coffee table book.
Toilets of the southeastern. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that would. I'll do that.
The plot keywords for Southbound include stabbed to death, masked killer, murder of family, head blown off, my favorite, intubation. I wonder how many other movies have that keyword, intubation.
Every episode of ER. Isn't that what they first yell out? Intubate them.
Every episode of Grey's Anatomy.
Okay.
That's for the younger audience.
So Southbound.
ER for the younger.
Southbound is four.
Five.
Five?
Well, I'm counting the first and last.
Oh, as the wraparound?
They had two different, they had like two different titles though. One was like
The Way In, The Way Out. Five, still directed by Radio Silence.
The fifth one, but the fifth one starts differently. It just,
but it's not.
But they didn't show them. They weren't put on the same VOD release. Sorry.
But yeah, it's four or five segments, but.
Four and a half.
Oh, it's five segments. Yes, I will get five segments.
I mean, this is something that I've kind of been yearning for a little bit as far as horror movies. Like we've done a lot of
something enjoyable.
Well, I mean,
yes, fine.
That's true. But also it's like this style of movie we haven't seen recently. There's some I like the anthology aspect of it, but this set of actors, this style of movie, it definitely felt like sort of slipping back into some of the movies that we watched a couple of years ago. So this group of people who make movies, they just have something that is cohesive about them that I really enjoy. And so it was good to get back into this style of flick.
Well, we have the bookends are directed by Radio Silence, which I'm not familiar with.
Very quiet.
Very quiet.
They did one of the VHS in the last one.
Okay. And then Roxanne Benjamin, who friend of the Chattanooga Film Festival, Roxanne Benjamin. She directed this. She also produced VHS and VHS 2. I think she may have produced ABCs of Death as well.
Which segment did she direct?
She directed Sirens, which is the band, the girl band.
The second one.
Mm-hmm. David Bruckner.
Yeah.
Who
is not a friend of the podcast, but geographically,
yes,
in proximal closeness to us, or was.
Hey, I take that back. I actually misspoke. They directed in the first one. That was the one that did 10/31/98. I think that was the last one in the film where they
in VHS.
In VHS, yes.
I don't remember that.
I didn't realize that. I didn't realize they were in the first one. That was the one, I think it was very House of the Devil seeming.
Oh, yeah. I like that one. It was occult inspired. That was Radio Silence?
Yeah.
That was the one that they did, yeah.
Okay, if they also directed the fifth segment, then that makes a lot of sense. As far as like
they directed the beginning and the end, the frames of this.
The bookend, yeah. So like
They also re-recorded Paul Simon or Simon and Garfunkel's album Bookends.
So I liked the bookends of them. I didn't like the first one. I thought was too short to be anything interesting, but the way that it wraps around was really fascinating for me.
I didn't realize this. They did Devil's Due, which is not good.
Oh, we did that one.
Not like that.
I think so.
Zachary Matt Saracen.
Matt Saracen, yeah. Zach, yeah. Isn't his name Zachary something?
Zach Guilford.
Zach Guilford. Zachary. Yeah.
Yeah, part of them, two of them made that, but I did not realize, make the connection.
Gotcha. Okay.
But a certain kind of pedigree here, and I think that the way that these are sort of thematically linked makes it a more interesting film than just having them all, like, be, you know, like most of the anthology movies we've watched are like, oh, here's just some found footage stuff. These all had a purpose, and it felt like a cohesive movie. It wasn't just like a series of segments to me, and I really, really like that about Southbound.
Yeah, they did a good job tying it in, and instead of having the instead of having like the middle story like VHS, which kind of runs through them,
it was much more like The Signal.
Yes, everything was tied into something else.
Which was that Bruckner? Was The Signal Bruckner?
Yeah, he did part of the. I think he did. I think he was involved in The Signal as well. I'm pretty sure he was.
He was one of them. Yeah.
So yeah, we can go around, I guess, and talk about it, but I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was brutal without being overly cliched in its horror elements. I thought that it did some interesting things with narrative. It had sort of that, I guess it's a spoiler, but like a circular narrative that I thought was really interesting. I liked all the segments. I can't say the only one that I would say the one that's my least favorite was the fourth segment, the sort of, it was like kind of From Dusk Till Dawn segment where the dude shows up to find his sister.
Yeah.
And kind of vampire. Yeah. The vampire-y one. But I found all of them compelling and interesting. It's a movie I'd actually like to rewatch because I just really enjoyed the experience of watching. It's one that I'd like to see on the big screen. I wonder is there a chance I'd be able to get to watch it on the big screen?
Absolutely. I don't know the exact date because we're still making the schedule, but you'll be able to catch this film at the Chattanooga Film Festival March 31st through April 3rd, ChattanoogaFilmFest.com.
I saw that the schedule got released. A lot of interesting movies. I like
the first 14 films, yep.
Yeah, I like that it's beginning with the Hank Williams flick. I like that with Tom Hiddleston.
Tom Hiddleston and Elizabeth Olsen will be there.
That's amazing.
I don't know if that's true or not.
Oh, I knew that was kind of a rumor.
I mean, I perked
it's
up.
Certainly being it certainly would be amazing. I don't know if we can afford them to come.
But I will say that it's a movie that, you know, working at the Chattanooga Film Festival, I'd really like to sneak into because it would be it's a great movie to watch with a crowd. I think the third segment, the one where the girl gets hit by the car. The one from Sirens, I think that would be a really great one to see with a crowd. Just
that one is a Bruckner as well. One was directed by David Bruckner.
That's my favorite one.
I know that Roxanne Benjamin will be in attendance for.
And she did Sirens, the second one.
She did Sirens. Mm-hmm. I think we are working on Bruckner to come and do.
That'd be cool.
If he's in town, he'll come out and pay a visit. Talk about Southbound.
What were your favorite segments? Like, if you had to pick one, mine's. Accident.
I think mine was accident as well. I did enjoy Sirens because I
Dana Gould.
Dana Gould. Yes,
yes.
Dana Gould as those creepy like people was the best, one of the best things.
Well,
also,
hearing him say a prayer was amazing. Just the way that dark fucking kind of Cthulhuian prayer.
Yes. If you've never had the opportunity to listen to any Dana Gould stand up, do yourself a favor and check that out. He has some of the best dysfunctional family stand up you'll ever hear.
He also does a really great Morrissey impression of he does a song called Clown Fucker in the vein of Morrissey, and it's hilarious.
And also a great Boston accent.
Yeah, he does a great Boston accent. His podcast, The Dana Gould Hour, is also really good. We're plugging somebody else's podcast.
Yeah, I like
which
Dana.
Dana Gould's awesome. That segment's great. Lona, what was your favorite?
Accident followed by Siren.
Yeah, me too. Like that's those are mine. I like those. Drew, what about you, man?
As I think about it more, I realize that even the beginning of the way, I think the beginning is the way out, because it ends with the way in. I think the titles of the segments, but how even that is like a circular, like we're running into the same thing. So the whole movie is kind of like that. It's like they're gonna, I'm not as smart as you guys sometimes. I didn't go to college.
Yeah, you did.
I did go to college.
Drew, what was your favorite segment?
I'm in the same place everyone else is. I mean, it's Siren and the accident in some order, which is hard to determine.
I did like the Dementor. The Dementor Grim Reapers. They were pretty cool. That first scene where he like looks behind him and it's just floating in the air creeped me the fuck out.
Yeah, I like that. I wanted that segment to be longer because I liked the kind of the Hitcher-esque, but also completely unknowable kind of like, well, what's actually going on here? I thought it would have benefited from some length. I don't know what else they should have done with it, but I
I think most of us could benefit from some length.
I wouldn't complain.
Yeah, most women would not complain about that. They'd be like, you know what? The movie benefited from being a little longer.
That's the only thing they wouldn't complain about. Am I right, fellas?
Did you know it's Women in Horror Month?
It is. I was just saying this as a joke. It's goof. It's a goof. It's a prank, bro. I when we watch these movies now, and if it's a VOD and we get the VOD version, and I watch it on my TV, sometimes I wonder if like high definition TV is ruining effects, because the Dementors, I imagine, probably look fine up on a film, like on film mm-hmm. in a movie theater, but on my screen they looked like something out of a sci-fi channel.
Yeah.
But I kept thinking like a lot of things look like that on a HD TV, so I don't think it's the film's fault. I think it's just that my TV.
I don't know, man.
My TV is so.
You're giving way too much credit at that point. Yeah, I think it's gonna look shitty on the big screen. If it's looking shitty on your TV, it's not gonna look better bigger.
No. My TV is a 98 inch.
This is the humble brag portion of the horrible podcast.
It's a 98 4K Samsung. It's fine. I mean, it's a modest TV.
Shut up.
It's not.
I noticed that too. Like, but with this kind of film, I'm not. I will give it a pass on things like CG, since it seems like there's so little of it in this movie. One of the things I liked about it, that it was seemingly like they were very industrious with how they shot it. And some of the shots I thought it's one of the reasons I like to rewatch it, is that some of the segments had some shots that I wasn't quite sure how they pulled them off. Especially in Accident, where like the internal throat shot where the poor, like, can we just talk about that segment? Like, that segment is just so good. Okay, so
the main guy, Lucas, who I think plays an asshole in every film he's in.
Uh-huh.
And I actually felt sorry for him in this. Like,
yeah,
he's
totally.
Just being led down this path of torturing this girl who's already in the middle of dying. That scene where he's holding her and her legs
crack.
I'm like, oh my God.
Well, I mean, you know, it's just the situation where I think you can sympathize, because we'd all kind of find ourselves in that situation. Like, you know,
have you run over someone?
You know, not almost, that I would admit.
It reminded
on
me of the
here.
The movie Compliance, when they get the call and they just follow directions blindly because they're in panicking.
Well, and I think like here, there's a lot more reason to follow it blindly, because I mean, in Compliance, it's like, well, it's debatable as to whether or not they could or should, but here. Like, you're not supposed to move a body in an accident, but if you're in the middle of nowhere and they don't know where, like, you don't, I've always kind of thought about that when I pass by mile markers. I'm like, if I don't pay attention and something happens, what do I tell the police? Like, I'm on a road. Sometimes I don't even pay attention to what road I'm on. Like, what do I tell? Like, so it's one of those situations where it's like, if someone ran out into the road and I clipped him, which he didn't clip her here, but, you know, if you hit somebody with your car in the middle of the night, like,
which about hitting the clipping? Because if we clip, then we just keep going.
You know, if it doesn't stop the car, you just no. But I mean, I would contemplate moving them in that situation, because you're acting in good faith. It's not like, you know.
Well, when you have no other option,
right?
You leave them there to die, or you do something.
Like, where in the movie, where was the point where you're like, I won't do this? Like, where was the thing that you would have said, like, this is where I would say, like, no, I'm.
I mean, everything
know.
They said made sense. You're like, oh, this makes sense.
Yeah, but when they got to the hospital, probably would have been like, I'm going to go to the next
she's here.
Town.
She's here.
Yeah. I'm going to be like, we're going to get back in the car.
I'm going to leave a note.
Here's my number. Sorry.
Yeah.
No,
call me.
With me, but I would have, you know, tried to find another town, maybe one with, you know, people.
With less Satan in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With
lighter on the Satan, heavier on the normal people.
Right.
Most of us the majority of us here do a serious amount of driving, to the point where, like, you know, where our families are and where we have to go to get to some place to go to vacation. We've all traveled those roads, and like, I do the same thing you do, Tyler, too. It's like, all right, what mile marker, Matt? All right, 132. If I hit somebody now, I'm at mile marker 132, North Carolina, right. 85, North Carolina, mile marker 132. Come quick.
But I'm to the point, though, where I'm so invested in, like, podcasts that I don't pay attention to it anymore. I'm like,
oh, no,
I'm on 75.
The other day, like, I was coming around 10, and I had to, like, I panicked for a second because I didn't know if I had passed my eggs. Like,
I do that. That's completely understandable. I totally do that all the time, where I go like, oh, oh, no, wait, okay, I'm fine.
This doesn't look familiar at all. And then it's like the next exit is mine. I was like, oh, okay.
I actually did the opposite of that the a couple of weeks ago where I was driving to work, and I look up, I start looking, I go, this is not the, I should be at work now. This is not the road I should be on, because the way that I go to work, there's a fork in the road, like where I either take this one interstate or this other, and I was just in the left-hand lane, just bebopping along to whatever podcast I was listening to, and completely missed my exit. It's a horrifying feeling when you realize you're like, fuck!
Because you always get scared getting, like, I get to that point where, like, I'm, like, 2 miles from the house on my way home, and I'm like, I'm 2 miles from home. And then I think about all the merging that I did without paying any, like, I'm like, did I just merge onto the loop and just, like, in my mind, I imagine that I've killed like 7 people.
There's just
and I've been
up.
Unaware yeah. of like the car horns and the crashing, and I get like super scared. And there have been no joke times I have gotten home and I got out and like I walked around my car to see if there was like anything on the grill or on the back end, like because I had myself so psyched out that I had just been so unaware.
Yeah, it's white line fever, man.
It's unsettling. It's it's the whole black dog sitch.
Yeah, like when I worked near Atlanta and would drive, I drove an hour and a half to and from work every day. Like, hey there. There were times when I'd be driving home, like I would literally have to stop and get food to eat so that I wouldn't fall asleep while driving. And because there would be times where I would nod off and I would veer into the left lane. And that's a scary feeling, man. Especially when you don't realize how long you've been doing that. At drive time,
you're just like, oh, this is nice.
You know, yeah, I get some sleep and I go home. It's time travel.
Thank God this is all downhill.
I mean, I have done the long drive where I'm like, I'm just gonna close my eyes for a second.
Oh man, it's the worst. Like I hate the feeling where like I'm gonna take 15 minutes. I'm gonna pull over and sleep. Like that feeling in the afternoon where the sun's coming through the windshield and you're just like,
the best.
It's like, warm.
Yeah, and you're just warm. You're like, God, I just want
to... I just want to nap. I just want to curl up. Like, oh, this will be a good time to nap. And
guys, that is why I'm for driverless cars.
I know.
I have never had that experience. I have never been that tired driving.
Really?
But to keep in mind...
Are you lying?
No, I'm totally serious. But
what?
I don't drive, like, you know, my family is a couple of hours away, but I'm not one of those people who comes home after work and I get on the road at 6 o'clock. To get to my family, I come home and fool around. I'll leave my house like at 10. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a middle of the night driver where usually I'm so I've watched way too many episodes of Unsolved Mysteries, and there's always a woman driving at night, and you always see a naked woman or a body crumpled on the side of the road. And so I drive in the middle of the night, and I drive in abject terror that I'm going to see somebody on the side of the road, which keeps me wide awake the entire way.
It's the, you know, the hitchhiker premise where you're just like, I don't, you know, something's going to, like, I just can't. Yeah, I'm with you.
Well, and it's one of those things, too, where, like, up until probably about 2 years ago, about there was only cell service probably for about half of the trip where my family is. So, like, I would go through, like, an hour and a half of no cell service. So if I did hit someone, or if someone hit me, or my sister a couple of years ago actually hit a deer on this road, and it was 1 a.m. and she had to walk a quarter mile in the pitch black dark to a church parking lot to be able to call 911.
That's
and
crazy.
Then it was God's signal she found.
Signal was weak. The signal was weak.
As it always is. how much of this would you guys have actually done, though, as far as, like, would you have gone to the length of... Like, when it got to compress, like, the intubations where I would have been like, I don't know what this is. Like, I'm not.
Oh, I'd have been like, shit, yeah, let's do this. This is, I'd be like, I watched Grey's Anatomy.
No,
I got
man.
This.
I couldn't. Like, I don't know. I couldn't do that. That's where I'd have been like, I'm sorry, lady. I'll just have to, my conscience and the future me will just have to deal with this.
I'd have been like, what are you doing wandering around a desert road in the middle of the night?
Yeah, so you would have just like berated her for,
like, dying,
like, I'm leaving you. God damn it. You made my life more inconvenient.
This is your fault.
This is, why'd you do this to me?
I hope you never planned on dancing again, because this is all your fault.
Guess what? Leanne Womack wrote a song the opposite of what you'll be doing the rest of your life. You won't be dancing. She hopes you won't dance.
What? God damn. Hey guys.
Is that another wedding jam?
R.I.P. Leanne Womack.
She's not dead.
Pretty sure she killed herself.
When?
Not kill herself.
She did not kill herself.
No, that was that crazy girl whose makeup looked always...
Leanne Womack.
No, that was not Leanne Womack.
All right.
Oh, God.
Tammy Wynette. I don't know.
No,
I hope you dance. Time is a wheel. Yes, that was a wedding jam, Tyler.
It was Mindy McCready.
I'm sorry.
Did she kill herself?
She did kill herself.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because she got into a lot of trouble. All right, so.
She was also married to Blake Shelton.
Let's talk to, not that one. Let's talk about the second segment a little bit, because Siren, I thought, was a really, it was an interesting one that I didn't quite see where it was going. It was surprising, and I like that about it.
It was like a snippet of what could have been a much larger movie that I would also have liked to have watched.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
It's like the Green Room, but instead of white power thugs, it is just Satanists.
But they're so pleasant. They're like the most pleasant Satanists. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's the draw here. Like, it's almost as if something, like, it's something that Rob Zombie might have directed.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's, I kind of got that feeling from it, especially at the beginning where it's like kick-ass girl band driving through the desert. Like, it reminded me a lot of Devil's Rejects. So, you know, like, I really dug it. And I liked all the actresses.
The only thing I wish they would have is, I wish they'd more directors would match songs up with the titles of their shorts. Like, so this one it's called Sirens, so that it had Pearl Jam Sirens. Hear the sirens.
Do you only think in terms of music references to things?
Yeah.
Okay. I just had to ask. Like, do you
yes.
just like, were you like, what song does this relate to?
As soon as I heard the name of the movie was Southbound, all I kept thinking of was the Thin Lizzy song, the "Oh, I'm Going Southbound." Ding.
Yeah,
probably one third of our conversations are song lyrics.
Like, it's weird that it's like, I mean, does he do that with you where you're like, hey, like you mentioned, like, I want.
He tests me. He'll say something and it will be lyrics. And sometimes it may or may not make sense, but it's like a test. And he'll be like, oh, you got it. And I'm just like, it's like this weird gong show music edition.
It's like
all the time.
Yeah. Ryan is he's a walking gong show.
He is.
I like the unintentional laugh I got out of you there.
It's a walking dong show.
Oh.
That's not a good thing.
Those are not song lyrics, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, what I wanted more, I think, like, this is one of the few instances where I would have liked more movie. I would totally have.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, not lots of times we're complaining that things run too long. Right. This one, I'm like, come on. You could have stretched that out a little bit more, but maybe that was what made it so enjoyable, is that it was just a brief glimpse into.
They should have taken Sirens and made it the length of The Boy, and they should have taken The Boy and made it the length of Sirens.
Okay. Great. Yeah, I could. I'm there. I could totally see that. I did think like that the Sirens would have benefited from some length though, because I think it went very quickly. I think there was a long sort of setup for it where the exposition took a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it. Like, I don't have any complaints about it, but I think once shit started to go down, I kind of wanted a little bit, like, it went very quickly from like, they're all puking black putrid stuff to like, oh, it's over. Cause like, did you guys agree, or did you like, what'd you feel about
it? They were puking and then they were dressed and then they were having a ritual.
Yeah. I felt the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like,
and I wanted more. I wanted mm-hmm. I wanted her to be in that house longer.
Yeah, me too. Like, I felt like there should have been. I wanted more out of like what was going on with this group, because I kind of felt like, okay, it's a cult. I think it jumped too quickly from like, okay, now we know they're a cult, to like, okay, well, here's the ritual, here's the payoff. Like, I wanted a little bit more like mystery to it, and more Dana Gould.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the exact same thing with that one.
Yeah, like,
I mean, it just didn't have enough room to breathe, and that's the only one of those shorts that I would say that about. Like, I mean, the accident had its time.
Yeah,
Siren had enough time. It just needed more of it, I guess.
It felt like a movie that was pushing against the boundary of like what it was, and I would say that they could have cut from the beginning, but I did like all of the lead up. I thought that it built the characters up. It made me care about them, in the way that it needed to. And so I would have liked a little bit more at the end, just like sort of not stretching, but just like giving us more of the punch of like what's happening, because I just loved the meat. It reminded me of Troll 2. Do you guys remember where in Troll 2, where they're sitting there and eating lunch or whatever, and the kid gets up and pisses on all the food. Like, the food looks delicious, but he can see that it's, like, terrible food. Like, it reminded me of that because, like, they think it's delicious, but that's like, oh, their bandmate they're eating or whatever.
It's like kind of like a Lost Boys sitch, like, you're eating maggots, Michael.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking about. It was, like, that kind of situation. I was like, at this point, I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't think... I wasn't surprised when it turned out to be an occult situation, but I thought, like, maybe this is going.
But what was the meat?
That's a good question.
And I like that we don't get the answer too, because a lot of other things feel like you need that and have to have that, or else it, you know, it and doesn't make sense.
I mean, I would have liked to have known what happened to the ex band member, that it was all their
right.
fault.
Yeah,
I like, but I do like that we don't as well. No, I mean, I get what you mean.
Yeah,
I would like to know, but I like that it doesn't feel like it had to tell us.
I feel like it would. It's a situation where it didn't have to be in the movie, but maybe if, like, in the end credits, it's like, here's what happened to her. I'd be like, okay, all right, fair.
I'm pretty sure she died driving drunk, is what it sounded like, because it said you let her leave.
Yeah.
To have sex with that guy. You know, and they're at a club or something like that. So I like to think it was just something even that much more normal than some sort of murder type situation or anything like that.
Yeah, it's a really good segment. No, I agree with you. I think that might have been what happened. And it's, do you think what's weird about this whole...
Do you have the time? I thought you were going to break into that.
Fucking goddamn it. No, but like, I think what's weird about this movie is that the people in it are seemingly... genuinely good people. I mean, maybe not the dudes at the beginning, like in the bookended section, but like...
Well, we don't know they're bad other than doing that there. Like, and we don't 100% know their reason, although it seems enough of one to do what they did. It seems like a martyr's situation almost. Like,
I thought the same thing too, the whole, like, the martyr's thing, yes.
Right.
And even with the accident, I kind of had a martyr's moment too. I'm like, they're seeing how far she can take, she can be pushed.
Right. Well,
she's being punished for her involvement with the losing the band member. He is just an unwitting torturer.
Yeah, like, but what is his role?
Texting while driving. this whole thing was paid for by AT&T.
Like, it was, you know, it's kind of like Budweiser has to do the drinking and driving ads.
Text while driving are monsters.
But he wasn't actually texting, he was talking and looking at pictures to talk with his wife.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like,
what guy is ever that interested in what a woman's wearing?
Just tell her, yeah, don't even look at it. Just be like, yeah, that one.
Uh-huh.
Wear that one.
I don't care. I just want to go. I just want to hit our reservation and get some food. I don't, yeah.
I've got to tell you, that's the road I want to pay the most attention on. Like, okay, it's straight, but what about when it's not all of a sudden? Like, it's the middle. I mean, you don't know that road. It's dark. I don't know
dork.
What's going to happen?
Dork. It's a dork road.
That's a dork road. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Like, he seems like a great dude. I even think that
that's why he gets out.
The brother. Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess.
He debates it for a second.
Yeah. I mean, but do you think he really gets out?
Yeah. They made his car new and everything else was back to normal.
Was it?
Yeah, remember he gets in the car.
He got to leave.
Everything was back to before
the glass was still broken, I thought.
Uh-uh.
Oh.
Like, they gave him the new shirt, new clothes. He cleaned
all
up.
That. Yeah.
The fact that he's covered in blood trying to adjust his hair and, you know, matted down, like, oh boy, no one will notice me now.
Well, that's like at the beginning where the two guys go into the diner. I thought that I didn't know that they were going to be acted upon. I thought, like, they were going to do some heinous shit. Because, like, they walk in and she's like, rough night. And he's got the giant blood stain on her neck. I'm like, does she not see that? But she did, because she's the devil.
What is she? I think she's just someone else there being in the midst of it too. She looks so tired and worn out, like she's been going through whatever her torture situation is, I guess.
But she seems like knowing.
The diner.
Are they going for? Wait, did he get out? Because was he still traveling south? Are they just going further down? Like,
it's
into
just
the rings
for him later.
Yeah,
kind of felt like he got out because he.
But did he go further south? That's the question.
That's a good question. Like, I'm thinking. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. Because that's where those guys. I mean, we know they were at the. We see they're going south still.
Well,
back to the beginning when they were going south.
These filmmakers, what they were doing?
What I forgot. I forgot what happened. What happened to the partner at the beginning/end? What happens to him? Like, he goes into
his mouth ripped open?
No, not that. The guy.
He goes to the hotel room and sees his daughter and goes through, like,
he goes through, like, a
maze
barrier.
Of
okay.
Yeah. Seeing Kathleen, is that her name?
Do you think
his daughter? Yeah.
Do you think that is his punishment? Is that he will just have to exist, like,
never able to reach his daughter again? She's just always out of reach. Maybe, yeah.
Because he's the
hotel room.
He's the one at the end who kills the girl, right?
Yes.
So he's the worst one, because the blonde guy who gets his head ripped open, he tries to stop it, right? Like, I'm kind of fuzzy
on
the details.
Who told I don't know who told the girl to leave, because I don't remember. That was the one thing. It said,
I kept
thinking
the whole time as I was watching that, I was like, man, they should make a movie where people are, like, robbing banks in president's masks, because this is really cool.
What masks were those? You may figure them out.
One
looks like Clark Gable, and another looks like
Clark Gable, yeah.
And one looks like this old, like a character actor, and I couldn't name the other one. The bald one, the mustache, and then I couldn't figure out the other one. Clark Gable, I didn't think I had.
Right.
Richard Milhouse Nixon.
Shut up.
How many times are you gonna do that?
Do it again. Do it one more time. I don't think we heard you. I think we were talking over all of this.
Eleanor Roosevelt.
You don't have old Nixon to kick around anymore. All right.
I've been watching a lot of Futurama, so I hear Nixon a lot in the from the other room.
So yeah, like I'm still kind of fuzzy on the end. Like, what was the girl's involvement? Who was the girl? Do we know at the end the one who they tell to leave? Because
she's the daughter of those other two.
She's like, the daughter of whatever the man who hurt the robber's
Kathleen's
daughter or sister.
Wait, say that again. She's the daughter of who?
The main guy, Mitch. Is that Mitch?
So the guys that do the bookend.
Yes.
They are after revenge for some reason for the daughter,
right?
Kathleen.
I think it's Mitch's daughter is what I assume.
So the other one, I guess someone tells the daughter who is from the couple who are being held captive to leave because she's not at fault for any of this.
Yeah,
let's go. Yeah.
But she ends up coming back,
right? Because she wants to save her parents. So
and it's the guy who survives who ends up killing her.
And I'm not sure. Well, yeah, who killed her? Yes. I don't know who told her to go. Because when she came back, he said, "We told you to leave." At that point, she's not exactly blameless though. Because she is coming back and she's attacking you. I don't know what you're supposed to do at that point. Maybe not stab her in the stomach.
Not break
but still.
Into her house in the first place.
Well, what did the parents do? I mean, they're saying like, her house. Yeah. I mean, they let her go, saying she had nothing to do with it. Apparently, someone else. That's where that's the martyrs thing. I thought even more than anything was that sequence. Like, what did this mild-mannered couple, or the dad at least, have to do with whatever happened to Kathleen?
Well, and they seem to come from different ends of the spectrum. Like, the guys who break in to kill them seem like completely different people than the mild-mannered couple. So it's not like two warring gangs of some kind. It's just like, unless it's, this is the world of the greasers and the socies of the outside. Like, unless it's an S.E. Hinton novel that we're suddenly in.
It's Trump supporters versus Cruz supporters.
Yeah, that's how the world ends. We're all in a kind of purgatory now.
Yes.
The political world is the scary... Okay, all right.
We're real southbound.
America is the southboundest. I don't know. So yeah, I love the movie. I don't.
Me too.
The bar segment, I don't have much to say about it, except like the bright spot for me was the guy who gets his head blown off. Who was that guy?
The guy from Orange is the New Black.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
The bartender.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The guy who's like cut rate Tyler Labine.
Yes, it is. Which Tyler Labine is kind of a cut rate.
Someone else.
Like, he's like a cut rate Jack Black.
He's like a TV someone, and this guy is like the cut rate Tyler Labine, and so.
But he was really good in the segment. Like I thought he was the bright spot. It seemed like a very '90s premise. Do you know what I mean? Like it didn't quite grab me. I mean, it was fine, but it didn't quite grab me the way that I wanted it to. Like it was fine, but I just think
it's not as good as the others. It's not that as bad. There's so many that I've seen, like in the other VHSs, the later VHSs and all that, were weaker than that segment.
Right.
I think.
I mean, I think
I agree. It had a very you had mentioned earlier From Dusk Till Dawn or Feast type vibe going, but The Gifted's music I thought helped.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to pick that album up if it's available.
Yeah, it's good.
I like the music in the movie a lot too. I mean, it added a lot tonally to it. It without, I mean, I'm starting to get to the point where I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. Like, you're doing John Carpenter kind of stuff. Like, I get it.
So the guy who directed the third part is Patrick Horvath.
Yeah, he did the Pack 2 and Diner and...
Entrance,
thank you.
The bar one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, the one with Steve Guttenberg and Daniel Stern.
Shut up.
Diner, yeah.
I get
it. Diner, get it. Actually, that's the title. It's Diner, get it. It's D-I-E-N-E-R, Diner.
Ah.
Mm. We get it.
Oh, my God.
Did you?
It's very clever.
Get it.
Gotten.
But, yeah, I thought the movie was really great. I think, like, we hit a weird crescendo or, like, tipping point with these movies where it's like, all right, I'm kind of exhausted of a lot of this. But this movie was refreshing in that it had a cohesion that most of these movies do not. Like, most... Like, what separates Southbound for me from most of the VHS or ABCs of Death films is that while those movies appear to be about, like, well, we just want to do something really crazy for a few minutes, this movie felt like a complete and whole movie. Like, it felt like something that was very thoughtfully put together and not just like, hey, we're going to give you $5,000 to do a segment. No. And I like that.
I love anthologies. I mean, is what it turned. I just think I could watch these, well done, these a lot, and it was nice to have another one like that. But I agree that the thematic arc of it makes it stronger, I think, than anything since the first VHS, which had some really just great segments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the first VHS I think is a really fine movie. I mean, the first segment for me is still the strongest, with the girl they pulled like, that's just a horrifying premise.
Wasn't that Bruckner's again?
Was it Bruckner's, the one where they meet the girl at the bar and bring her home to the hotel room? That was really effective for me. Like, I was like, man, that is brutal.
We're talking about VHS?
Yeah, in VHS.
That was him.
I like you.
But when you take something like the ABCs of Death, like, yeah, some of those are really interesting, but some of them are just like, all right, okay.
When you got to do 26, you got to imagine there's got to be some stankers in there.
Yeah, but like, and that, like, that's the thing about it, though, where I'm like, all right, I guess. It's just, with that many segments, too, it just veers so wildly. Like, there wasn't any curation there. It just veers so wildly in terms of tone that it's, like, hard for me to recover. Some of them are just so silly and then turn into something so brutal that it's like, well... I get it. Like, I can reset, but it's hard to do that many times over the course of a, you know, 2 hour, 2 hour and 50 minute movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, but this one worked. Like, totally.
I still want a third one.
it's still, yeah, sure. I mean, I'd endure that. But, like, this movie, though, even though the segments were directed by different people, they still, even tonally, were fairly close to one another. And I really like that about them.
VHS 3 is being made. It's called Beta.
No, VHS is out.
We already have a three.
Yeah, we already have a third VHS. He's talking about ABCs of Death.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. The third VHS is viral.
Yeah, because it was VHS, VHS 2, yeah, and then viral.
That was the one with the van that had the cameras in it.
No, I think you're wrong about that.
And the best segment was the one that was about the kids who go skating in Mexico or whatever.
Oh, that was the Moorhead Benson.
Yeah, joint. That one was awesome.
The accounting firm of Moorhead and Benson.
Yes, exactly. The cigarette company of Moorhead and Benson.
Are they the Oscars? Do they bring the awards, the envelopes in?
Yes.
I get it. Okay. But yeah, I mean, I really dug the movie. I thought this is, I'd like to see something more like this more films like this.
Definitely get Southbound if you're in around if you just want to wait, come Chattanooga.
I can't wait to see. Like, that's one of my goals, is to see it on the big screen if I'm not actively working.
I'll even go one further. If you come to Chattanooga and come find me and say, hey, I heard the podcast. You said come see Southbound on the big screen. I'll give you a ticket.
That's awesome. I'll be there. Ask for a ticket.
You're getting inundated with people.
Then I'll be like, I've made a huge mistake. I'm going to limit it to 10. I'll go ahead and say this. I'm limiting it to 10.
Yeah. But if you're in the area,
yeah, come
you
on.
Should do it. So,
and if you're not, if you're the 11th, Brian will hug you.
I will hug
He'll
you.
He'll at least sing at you.
I will.
Oh, let's sing at you.
I get go, hey, I want either Danzig or Little River Band. You choose which one it is.
I'd say try and stump him musically.
I don't know if you saw the Facebook conversation about the Yacht Rock bracketing system, but we're going to have to figure out how to do that. The number one Yacht Rock song. I made the claim that Chicago's Baby What a Big Surprise was the best soft rock jam. I'm sure Drew's not going to disagree with me on that, but at the
But I think it's that's a good conversation to have, though.
Yeah,
yes.
I think it's we can start. Let's just do a podcast on that. We'll do 100 episodes counting down to the number one yacht rock.
Oh my gosh, I like it.
Yes,
I like it.
All right, guys, say go see Southbound.
Yeah, man, I say see it as soon as possible. And I think it'd be a great crowd movie. Like it seems like it'd be something great to watch with a group of people.
Yes, sir. Hey guys, thanks for listening. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
And we'll see you next time.
Catch you next time.
Unless we're in hell.
Unless we've driven off the side of the road while sleep driving.
Yeah, unless Lona gets taken by a hitchhiker.